Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we bow here in your presence this morning. We do thank you for your blessings that you showered upon us. This beautiful day outside, the night of rest you've given us, and the words that we already heard from the brothers that stood before us. And we just ask you, Lord God, now to be with Jonas here as he opens up the scriptures. He opens up his mouth. And we just pray, Lord, you give him wisdom, give him strength, give him courage, and give him the unction of the Holy Spirit that he can preach the word of God with boldness. So, Father, we thank you for him. We thank you that you have chosen him as a vessel. And we just ask you, Lord God, that every heart that's in this room tonight or that today, Lord, if they hear the word and they got situations in their life that need to be dealt with, Lord, and you prick in their hearts that you would bring them peace in their minds, Lord, if there's something they need to work on. So, Father, be with each and every one of us in this room today. Maybe even those that are listening in on the phone lines and on the website, Lord. Just be with them as well, Lord. Convict them of their doings and whatever they're facing, Lord, that they can be also become the children of the Most High. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, and ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I think it's a blessing to be here and gathered in this way again. There's something special. And continually meet on the Lord's Day in the morning and to just gather and to see each other is a huge blessing. But we have the opportunity to gather and to hear and to sing and to worship and to encourage each other by the Word of God. And it was rich this morning already to think about those musings and meditations on we're marching to Zion and then that trumpet sound. And those are realities. So may we not be of those of the scoffers that are saying it's not going to happen because of the time frame that we live in such a time frame that whether it does happen in the next week or the next 20 years, it's going to happen. It's not our authority. It's a time frame. And we live in a framework of time where we become big men, proud, and we don't think about it like we should. And so may we do that as our brothers shared with us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that children's lesson. May we all together do that. May we be good examples of being alert. Thank you. Think of the things that seem to be on my mind this morning. I would like to share a message, some thoughts that have been in my mind for some time. The title could be The Christian and the Government, or you could say The Christian's Calling, His Walk of Life. We'll be primarily looking at our lives in light of the governments of, it's not just America, but it'd be in light of the big picture. The governments of the land are ordained of God. And so we'd like to look at that, our relation to that. I shared a little bit of a lot of this message I shared last Sunday. I have a few different areas that we want to look into today, but the governments of this earth and the world and the systems of this world, they rise and fall, and they are held in the hands of God. God has ordained this. This burden is not something that I'm the only one or us as a group has ever come up with. This burden has been a burden for the people of God for many, many generations since the start, since Israel come out of Egypt. This is a burden. And today we'd like to make this an exciting burden with some warnings. If the kingdom of God is working, then it's working. But if the kingdom of God is run by the same value systems of its governments and worlds around, then there's no difference. And so today I would like to look at a little bit You know, sometimes we think of the world and the world system. Sometimes we think of it as bad people. That's not what we want to focus on today. We want to focus on ideas, thought patterns. A system of world is the way we think. It works for our lives, for our families, for generation after generation, or it doesn't work. It has the same repercussions. So let's, with that in mind, I just want to, I'd like to look at the call of the saints in relating to some of these areas of life. I'd like to draw a little bit of a graph line. Just some thoughts that we'll draw from, just for us together to think a little bit about. We often hear of the two kingdoms. I've heard that, I think, most of my life in one way or another. But the two kingdoms, there's still two kingdoms, and there's still two lines. The burden today, some of the burden will be that the thing merges. And the merging of two kingdoms has always been a conflict for the saints or for the church. When you merge two things together that don't work, it's been conflict. So we'd like to look at some of that a little bit. Some of these things are not done, sometimes they're not done with bad hearts and bad motives, but they're done with ignorance sometimes in my own life. It says, one of the things that we'd like to lay a foundation, I would like to, very clearly this morning, that the Church of Jesus Christ is not rejective to governmental authority. That's not what we teach. It's not that way. There's an early church father that said Christians obey the prescribed laws. In fact, they actually surpass the laws by their lives. This was a letter written. This is part of a letter that was written. I found it in an early writing. Also, it is not Satan who appointed the kingdoms of this world, but God. The governments of this world is appointed by God. We'll see that a little bit as we go through Romans 13 in a number of scriptures. God has this set up. This is the Lord's doing. The kingdoms of the world. The word also says by Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, according to the word, by me kings reign and princesses administer justice. Another quote says, these persons are more severely judged who in this world have had more power. Solomon says this. The hardest judgment will be made on those who govern. This is a quote by Cyprene. The hardest judgment will be made on those who govern. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, we're going to read. We'll start in verse 1. It's the last chapter of the New Testament. It says that we start in verse 1. It's in the contacts of a river in the tree of life. There's a the Christian has a call. We're going to see that here. Call into the kingdom of God. And he showed me a pure river and of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. blessed are all they, excuse me, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I just stopped reading there in verse 15. Today, I would like to look at that just a little bit. You see, verse 14, it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates unto the city. We'd like to look at that right a little bit. Sometimes when we look at some of these two merging kingdoms, we want to see there's rights. There's all kinds of rights movements throughout history. And we'll look at some of those, but we're not going to make comments of how I believe about those, but they're rights that people rise up and have conventions about. But here is a right that the Christian has. A right here, it says in verse 14, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city. And I was thinking of that as a beautiful, beautiful place for the saints. The church establishes that position, and it's a different line than the line of the world. You see, the line of the world there in verse 15, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know, there are no whoremongers and no adulterers and dogs and murderers. All that we understand that. We do. Most people, that all the bad people are not going to go there. But those that make a lie, we cannot merge. See, some of the good, there's going to be good people. The merging of two kingdoms is a burden a little bit that's been on my heart. See, the excess there in verse 14 is something as a brother and I were talking on the phone the other day, I had the thought come to my mind, you know, it's too good to be true almost. It's just too good to be true. That we, God's people, are called into this right, this access, that we have access to salvation. This meaning of that right that we have a door opened unto us that we can enter into full deliverance, the tree of life. We can enter into a life that's not found on that bottom line. It's not found there. It's found in the kingdom of God. The world will never offer that accessible deliverance that the kingdom of God offers. It will never offer. It will offer some snippets of truth. And it's a blessing that we're not degrading. But we want to make continue when we finish to have a clear call from one world, from this one world into a clear kingdom of God. a clear kingdom of God. So we have the right. We have the word right there, and looked up some of the meanings. In verse 14 in Revelations, it's the ability, it's a privilege, it's a freedom. It's superhuman is one meaning. It's superhuman. It's we have the ability to take control of. We have the liberty. We have the strength and power is the foundation of what we have. We have that ability to enter into this. The Bible calls it here in 14, the tree of life. The tree of life is not just a theology that we hang on ourselves. It's a life, as I think we think of the evidential life that we see that we have entered into the tree. That tree is deliverance. It's Jesus Christ himself, the salvation of our souls. We now have the right to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a freedom? Think about that. I just want to think, I was encouraged. We have the right. It's a foundation of the kingdom of God. May that be the chief passion of the people of God all the days of their life. That we desire to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking for a route out. And in this kingdom of Jesus Christ, there becomes more clarity and more clarity and more clarity. Not merging in gray and muddy. The two together has always caused conflict in church life or brotherhoods. The two together. Not necessarily always really bad stuff, but them two together, those two ideas have caused conflict. Because one is of a new humanity and a brand new heart, and the other one is from reformation and trying harder and trying to put up with my brother, trying to put up with my family. It's two kingdoms. Just for some foundations there out of Revelation. It's a new humanity. We know that. I think of a new man, a new heart within. Who doesn't want that? If you don't have that this morning, you can have that. But it's a journey. It's a journey this morning. We'll have to make a decision to leave the bottom line and forsake it. Because in that bottom line, there's all kinds of justification for the reason that I do the things that I do. There's all kinds. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll go into some areas that we want to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll just read from verse 1 to 8. Some direction from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Bear with me, some of you that have heard this last Sunday. Dare any of you, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 1 says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you with a question mark. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brother. These are question marks. But the brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, in verse 7, he says, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong with a question mark? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded with another question mark? Nay, he says, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. And so I'd like to stop there. There'd be more to read there. There's a governmental law here that is being practiced in the Corinthian church. The Corinthians have had their, if you read through the book of Corinthians, some time ago we had a Bible study on the book of Corinthians. They've had their fair share of struggles and issues and trials. Which generation of people don't? It's just a question. It's a fair question. Some have more than others. But there's an antidote. There's an answer for it. And the Apostle Paul had a hold of it. And it seems like in our weaknesses in my own life, it seems like it takes perseverance. It takes desire. What is your will, God, to restore this? What is your will, God, to bring this together? What is your will for life? And we want to look at some of the burden here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Giving the fact that if you start the question, the thought there is, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? So there's something happening. Let's say there was a situation. There was a fornication in the chapter before. There was, you know, some of the there was conceit in some of the chapters. There was some conceit. There was weak believers. There was a counsel of salvation. How this all works out in our life. They were wrestling with these things. There was another in chapter 3 is how Paul was encouraging them how to deal with weak believers. And then the question would come out through that is, well, who's weak believers? You know, and so we just let those questions. I like to look at those questions, and then the Apostle Paul gives some of his burden and direction in chapter 6. As he goes through there, he says, have a matter against another. Why do you go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? And then the question in verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And I would say that it is important for us to not get individualistically proud about what this is saying. But know you not that the values of the kingdom of God are going to judge the world? They're going to judge the world one day. And we got the opportunity to be part of that now. And later, the world's going to be judged under that umbrella. Not me is going to rise up with some special judgment and cast it on people. It's not how it works. But this system, this value system of the kingdom, will judge the entire world because of the authority of the Word of God. That's encouraging. May we continue with that burden in life. That will compel us to judge our matters within the saints, not to the unjust. And we'll look at that a little bit as we go through here more. God has a plan to deal with difficulties that we face. They had self-exaltation and conceit. I think I read some of that. They wanted a church to be pure from fornication. They wanted all this. The Corinthians did, I believe, just like many generations. We want to do right. We want to live right. But there's many times a war between two kingdoms. Our concept of God and His kingdom directly forms our view on how we handle life and its troubles. Directly forms our view. Thinking of this, the saints will judge the world. This is pretty propelling, has always been for the saints and for the church. And we're going to see a little bit how that works too. It is the only way to restore situations. This kingdom. And I know there's arguments on this scripture, and I run the risk of that, but I'm very open for conversation. But the kingdoms are still they're kingdoms apart. They do not run together. And if we merge them by snippets of truth, we will be affected by them. Because the kingdom of this world is run by power and money and restraint. And you do as I say. And I'm not saying on any of this with negativism. But the kingdom of God is driven by agape love, voluntary surrender. I'll give my life for this. It's extremely different to be here today and not be here today because of a restraining order. Oh, I tell you, there's a higher quality of life. You know, that's what we want. We like to be here this morning because we want to be here. Or we want to restore our situation that isn't so good. Even if there's things in our life right now, press toward restoration. Let's go this way. You know, the disciples, if you look in Luke chapter 22, we'll see some of that. In the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we'll start in verse 24. This is Jesus' disciples. It says in verse 23, it says, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles," again, he's pointing toward this system of world, "the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." So he's making that comment in 27, in your mind, which is greater, him that sitteth at meat, right? So if someone's sitting at meat and he's getting served in a worldly, look at that big man. But Jesus is saying, but I'm one that's among you that serves. And there's great freedom there. Great freedom there. Praise God. It says in verse 28, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation." In 29, he says, "And I have appointed you into a kingdom," he told his disciples. He said, "I have appointed you into a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." There's that principle again. There he's telling his disciples, look at the opportunity that I'm appointing you to. And you want to do it this way. You still want to do it this way. You want to do it the way the world does it. And think of those things in a... That's just one portion in Luke. There's many other. This is Jesus' teaching about heavenly citizenship. Jesus has a clear teaching on heavenly citizenship. This truth is not optional. It's God's plan. It's God's plan, this truth, for his people to judge matters or to take care of issues, to take care of life. It's his commandment. It's his desire and design. It's not optional. Always remember, I was thinking this week, remember, small things become big if not taken care of. And many times those very problems end up in courts and worldly arrangements of trying to figure these things out. And they get worse, and they get worse, and they get worse. Because until that changes, then there's restoration according to God's plan. And then there's restoration. There's a beginning of restoration. It's good to read history on this. How much restoration comes from governing by this value system of the governmental law structure. Again, this is not negative. How much restoration? So you have two men that bicker with each other. And we go before a judge and he helps them and he puts some restraints and he tells them how far to stay apart. Do this for this many months. And I would like to know the outcomes. I've read some stories, but years and years go on. There's restraints in place, there's orders made, but the restoration never happens. The restoration, we're talking from the inside heart of a man. You know, you can fine a man of thousands and thousands of dollars to stay away from his wife because he's dangerous. But there's something within him that'll take him back to her. We have to try a different route than this system of thinking. Help me, Lord, to see the difference when I'm drawing from the bottom line. Help me, Lord, to see this. Help us to see this. Romans chapter, if you turn there also to Romans chapter 13. There's some more scriptures on some of the clarity between the two kingdoms. Romans chapter 13, we'll just read a number of verses there. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?" The question mark. "Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." We'll just stop there for just a little bit. And you take, if together we take note of these scriptures, the distinctions between the two. If you, verse 3, it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." It says there, in the same verse 3, it says, "Do that which is good, and thou," who is thou? "Thou shalt have praise of the same." And then he says in verse 4, "For he," circled, "he is a minister of God to thee for good." But thou, there's distinctions here, but thou do that but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God. You see the word he and us, the revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, for they, you see ye and they, there's a distinction there. But one thing is a powerful truth in here, that there is not a license to rebel and resist against governmental authority in these scriptures. They're not there. It is to pay tribute to tribute. There is not a call in these scriptures to go ask them to take care of the matters of our Christian lives. But there is a call here for the Christian all through history to pay tribute, to honor, to respect. It's always there. And may God give us that humble spirit. We are born of a different kingdom. We're not born of rebellion. We are not born of rebellion. So the thing there with Romans 13, we'll continue on there. It's God's plan. God has a beautiful plan. The Christian call to earthly authorities is to respect them, honor them, obey them. Where we are totally able to obey them, their call is for them not to restore the trouble that we have. This is according to God's word, some of these scriptures, some of these thoughts. This is not a license to escape governmental law because we're Christians. This is a sad mistake that the church many times can make. It's because I'm born again, because I have something, I was transferred from this kingdom into the higher kingdom that has a new value system. I have some kind of special liberty that I can just kind of wing it how I want. It's not right. We should call ourselves to repentance in those things. It's not true. Think of in Romans there, you know, if you look at that bigger law, I call it a bigger one. It's not just bigger, it's better. It's the best. You know, here many governments that have been set up through history, a lot of times when we're sitting in this room, we think of our systems because we're born here. But think of Europe. Think of all the history of people. It's important for us to not get personal. It's very important. So many governments have adapted some of the very laws of the kingdom of God to try to propel, because they know it works to move people forward. So, for example, in verse 9, starts in 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, all that we read, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there are many infrastructures that take that in and say, "Don't, we can't commit adultery. It's right. It keeps things going right. Thou shalt not kill. It's right. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet." If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And there are multitudes of infrastructures that would say, we agree with that body of thought. But how does it change us? How does it make us new people? And it doesn't until Jesus, till we're called away from the law of that kingdom in this sense. You shall not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Jesus says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Now, is there an escape route there? None. It's brought to a higher standard. You know, Jesus, there it says, you shall not commit adultery. We all would agree. But Jesus said, he who looks upon and lusts has committed adultery. That's what Jesus said. Oh, what a standard, what a glorious standard. And when we bring ourselves to that, that's freedom. That's restoration. That's cleansing. You shall not steal. You know that Jesus Christ this morning wants to remove the desire to steal. You know, the desire to take something that's not mine. The same thing with covetousness. Jesus is a teacher here. It is, if you desire something that is legally not yours or you're not able to have, and you go ahead and you get it, you're not overcome with a higher standard. You've been overcome by the love of the world and the world system. Standards like that destroy. Even though maybe nobody will ever find out about it, but I got my way. I got what I wanted. I got exactly what I wanted. It's a big difference. You know, think of that jealousy, the way we deal with each other, the way the church is called to deal. You know, see, when someone prospers in life, you know, when we hear the word prosper, sometimes we think materialism. And it's okay to think that, but when someone prospers in life, maybe they have a godly marriage, maybe they have children that love God. Maybe the battles are real in their life. Maybe there's many things you don't know, but you see prosperity in the spiritual life. And you feel that little rising up in your heart to just bring that thing down just a little bit. I tell you, it's born of the other world. It is. It's born of another world. It's destructive. When we see our brothers prosper, get beside them and pick them up. Even if they're struggling, we can do the same. But when you're not prospering, when there's something amiss in my life, and I see someone else has it, may that be the inspiration to reach for it and not to go bring him down or her down. It's a trap from this world. May it burn inside of us that when others prosper, we rejoice. It's the kingdom of a new humanity. It is. It's a beautiful kingdom. You know, and to say that, it's good to be very practical. You know, when someone is prospering, have you ever heard or said the secret thoughts and desires, the worldly way? You know, yeah, well, you look like you're doing okay, but you wait. You'll figure it out. There's some things you don't know yet. That's pretty discouraging. Bless people that have aspiration. You know what? There's many things that I'm still learning. But I go through the history of our lives. I want the history of your lives. The history of God's people is when men press into it, that other men would come alongside and keep going, knowing that we're going to face challenges. We're going to face things that we're going to learn. But keep going. Don't give up. We come into the... We're not happy where we're at, so we want everyone else down where I'm at. We become victims in our mentality. It's of this world, the bottom line. It's a poor me mentality. Try to pick someone up, no matter how you're feeling. Try to get under them and bless them. It will always bless you. It will always bless us. Try to pick up someone. You know, many people get in these situations in life all through the history, I would say, of the world, but also it taints the church. It emerges in the church at times. You know, when something isn't right, instead of just hitting the ground, humbling ourselves, we just cause a mess out of it. Just humble ourselves and say, I am a leper. I have some need here. I have a withered hand. You know, that has never went wrong for anyone that has done that. I remember Leroy Kaufman said he's never heard a man say that he was sorry, that he was sorry. Truly. I've heard people say already that, well, it works for you, but it don't for me. But if it's been working, if it works for you, if it works for the church, it has worked for the history of the church, it will work for us too. It will work. Seeing that, continuing on here, dealing with each other. You know, in the in verse 4, if you go turn back over to 1 Corinthians there, chapter 6, we'll continue with some of those verses on a little bit of some solidifying or clarifying that there are two ways here in the first 8 verses that we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4, we talked about judging matters. It says, if then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you with a question mark? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brother. So four and five, you know, the Amplified, I'll read the Amplified, but verse 4, I think there's been a wrestling sometime. There still can be, and I'm very open for correction on this interpretation or the thoughts of this. But so if we have a situation that arises, maybe you have anything in, let's just use this congregation as an example. You have something arises that needs to be resolved. There has been some thought in life that we would take and try to figure out which one of the men in this room are the least esteemed in this church and then go get the advice from him. Is that what it's saying? Just give us some thought. It created me to stir. It created some stirrings in my own mind. I would say it's not what it's saying. But I'd say because the Amplified says, if you have lawsuits dealing with matters of this life, are you appointing those as judges to hear disputes who are of no account to the church? Paul is saying that it is a big fault here in their life that they are using heathen judges, or we could say worldly values, to judge matters that the saints are well able to do, unless they're doing the same thing or they're merging the things together. You see, to me, it's encouraging to think that now we don't have to try to figure out who's the least esteemed in the church of Jesus Christ. The least esteemed are those that have no account. They're not part of the church. They're part of the kingdom of this world, because in the same context there, it says, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. In this context, there is not a wise enough man to deal with the matter that you're facing. There isn't in the kingdom of the world. But in the church there is. Because it's run by God and his values. The saints shall judge the matter at hand. Bringing restoration to the situation and situations. The long-lasting love and repentance and forgiveness that men face for each other. They can get along where they could never get along before. Feuds that come to an end by the power of God. But when we choose the world, many times they are resolved by restraints and force, just so people's lives can simply be sustained, that we can live sane, but not free. We don't want to live just sane. We don't want to live just barely making it. Because inside, the war keeps going on. The inside war keeps going on. I just can't stand him. I just can't get clear. That war is real. You all know what I'm talking about. It's real. But it doesn't need to be that way. Think of that in the same context there. If you continue in 1 Corinthians 6, you read the verse there, 11 and 12. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In 12, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, everything is permissible there, the Apostle Paul says, but I will not be brought under the power of any or enslaved by any. That means allowing it to control me. Allowing it to control me. The kingdom of saints on earth is the greatest government ever. It's the greatest government ever. Because it has the best for others in mind. It has an eternal perspective. You see, we do the line, I made a little curve upward. It has an eternal perspective. And when we have an eternal perspective, then it starts to be born in our hearts that it's good for, is that good for you? Is that good for my family? Is that good for my wife instead of me? And I know that. I know that when we think of these things, there are problems sometimes that others face that I have never faced. There are extreme situations that just break the heart of men and daddies and men of communities. I know that. But they break the heart of God too. Ideas in extreme situations. But we can never merge the two together and expect a resolve. It's the most important. It fits. It fits everything. The kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of the world, they have channels that it goes through. You have to go through the proper channels to get things taken care of. And the kingdom of God has proper channels. It does. It's just how it works. It's something we don't come up with. It has the channels. It works. It's in God's economy. And this is not running from an earthly government. In fact, I was just thinking on this, and I was thinking of these two kingdoms. I would just like to say there's a couple of things here in the end. I don't have that long of a message today, but I would like to give just a few warnings. And I want to do that from our hearts. Not necessarily because I have a big agenda. I have some thoughts that keep coming to my mind in the last number of years. It's an earthly government. And I would say that if any of us struggle with a heavy disdain for earthly government, it is very likely that we will have a pretty heavy disdain for the government of the kingdom of God. Like that disdainful, reproachful feelings that we have. And I can identify with that. I know those feelings. It's a challenge for me. I'll let that out there. Here are some things. I didn't write them down, but I had wrote some things down. You can write them down. The kingdom of God is governed by, and I thought about taking some input. But I had wrote down repentance and deliverance and restoration and obedience to God willingly. Willingly. Not always easy, but willingly. So that's governed by that. Now, we can add to that. There is forgiveness. There is godly homes. There is marriages that are totally unified, one with one another. Children that love and respect their parents. It's all in this kingdom of God. In the kingdom of the world, there's an eye for an eye. It's governed by power, restraining orders, tooth for tooth. And I'll say the word protesting. And the reason I want to say that is to give a little bit of a warning. A number of years ago, I had a man was sharing on some of this that spoke to my heart. You know, there's a big difference in preaching the gospel versus protesting. There's a big difference. You know, we're not called to fight men. We're called to preach the gospel. The kingdom has always just preached the gospel. We don't rise and fall with rights or new identities that come. You see, in our generation, there's, you know, in the 1800s, I did a little bit of a study on it. There was the women's rights and the feminist movement. And those are not, we're not talking negative about women. This is not what we're doing. But the rights and conventions were born and things happened and things were shaped and moved. And they weren't all bad things. But the church many times will find that and they'll try to figure out where they can fight and battle with that. You know, the battle isn't that. The battle is that all through history, From when the children of Israel left Egypt, there was a beautiful place for a sister and a man to walk. Think of men. You see, why I said women, so human rights. I think of the human rights. If you turn your Bibles to Hebrews just for a little exhortation and some warnings on our, when we think we have so many rights. Human rights. I think of Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar chapter. If we jump right in there in verse 32, it gives the story of the faith, the substance, and all those that have walked by faith and spiritual pilgrims, and all the way down. And we'll just jump in there in verse 32. After 31, after the harlot Rahab, there it says in verse 32, "And what shall I more say with a question mark? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and of Jephthah, of David, and also of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turning the flight of the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments." Look at the rites we're reading there, all through the history of God's people. "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, skins, and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, have all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So this is something that we can never forget, that this is the pattern of God's people. You see, the Apostle John's head went rolling, and the church kept going. But he kept preaching the truth. He would tell Herod, "It's not right for you to do this." That's what he would tell him. That's all he told him. I don't know that he was angry. I don't know if he got upset or emotional. But he just kept holding forth the banner of truth. And the church is called to do that. Just hold the truth. So when there's different movements come up, we just hold forth the truth. And I would like to look at them just a little bit. Just some burdens that come upon us at times. I'd like to say that we talked about merging. You know, there's an inclination inside of each one of us that we can get some special, we can find something special out because we're smart. It won't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. So we talked about disdain for earthly government. Because my thoughts primarily started thinking on just the thoughts of conspiracy on the governmental end of things. I think we should warn each other. I think we should be careful with the way we think in the light of conspiracy. I would like to warn my own heart. I would just like to make myself very vulnerable. Because conspiracy is, we have to answer two questions. Or one, but two. Did God ordain authorities or did Satan? According to the word of God. Now there's lots of things that are not done right in this kingdom. There's lots of things I am very open. I understand that. But God has set that in order according to the word of God. And we dare not have that anti thought patterns that come, I believe, out of the pits of rebellion. I believe that's where they come from. And those values can merge with the church and cause conflict. And we don't even know it sometimes. That's just a warning. It's just a thought and a burden and a warning. Conspiracies. You know, I'd like to name them a little bit. I like some because they're pertinent. They may change in 10 years. But it's foolish today for us to have a conversation. I would say it's foolish for us to have a conversation whether the earth is round or flat today. But it happens. It happens. I don't say that I'm over concerned that it happens, but I hear. We talk about those things. But conversations that create conflict, I just think of those things, very practical. You know, we don't get special revelations from certain news clips. That don't work that way. We don't get them from YouTube shorts. That don't work that way. It's a burden on my heart. And we come up with a propaganda and we say, this is what I believe is true. I would challenge my own heart because I like information. We like to get smart. But it doesn't work that way. It's part of merging, I believe, according to the scriptures. It helps us to get slanted. Because the reason I say that is very open for correction. It's sources that, you know, I like to look for sources. We like to look at sound sources. We have to. But the soundest source that we're going to come up with is the authority of the scriptures. And the saints of Jesus Christ. The saints. The saints will help us. I'm excited about that for me. I think of that in light of, you know, in some of our conversations that we have, settle it. May I settle that this morning, all the days of my life, that this truth that we're going to learn, these warnings and exhortations that I'm giving my own heart, may we be men of integrity, men of spiritual understanding. You know, in another thought is, there's a brother shared with me a couple years ago. He says, if a church loses its ability or authority to take care of case-by-case matters, it has started merging itself with ideas of the world. Case-by-case matters. Because sometimes two people can do the same things, but there's a different place in life. They're moving forward. Saints have authority on this earth. If they lose it, then the church becomes like the world, if they lose this authority. May we be men of God, as I wrote here in closing, some closing thoughts. Men of God, filled with integrity, not protesting animosity, bitterness, integrity. You know, one time, I remember I was humbled in my own heart the way I responded to a man in town one day. I wasn't even sharing. I'll just share this as a testimony a little bit. We weren't even sharing anything about war and those type of things. But he came up to me and he said, he was just very, I would say very upset. Something was convicting him. And he said, young man, he said, the ground that you're standing on, we shed our blood for it. And he was very, and you know what? I understand that. But there's blood been shed for our ground too. There has been. It's a surrender. It's sawn asunder. The world has no use. So don't be alarmed if the world doesn't appreciate you. Never be alarmed, because the world will always be in conflict against the kingdom of God. The world will always be there. So we cannot merge these two together. We have to make the call from here to here all the time. Come. Come. Come away from this kingdom and come into this new humanity. There'd be other things. There's others that you can think about, I'm sure. They're just some thoughts I was having. I was even thinking on, you know, there's probably been conflict even in the pertinent thing of people going to the moon. This conflict. I'm not here to say what I believe about that. I'm just saying, stop it. It don't work. It don't work to have conflict, conversations about things that, and then all along that journey we can miss having a relationship with our wife, godly children, harmonious marriages. Oh, it's exciting to me, but we don't want to miss it. We don't want to merge it, and we don't want to mix it up and get it gray. That's the burdens that I had in my heart. May we, as God's people, love the kingdom of God, because as we read those verses in those closing verses, I'll just read them again, and in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, it says, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right, that they may have access to the salvation of God, that they may have access. the right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city. So God bless you, and pray for us. We love His kingdom, and we also know that you love His kingdom, and we want to encourage each other along the journey. If there's anything that you have questions and thoughts about this, I'm very open for conversation. God bless you all.